now.
All right. What is up? What is happening? How are all the things? You're hanging out with Cheryl and Natty on the Shades of Strong podcast, where we are supporting Black women in reimagining strength. Y'all see how I'm trying to say it so fast I can hurt me say it and then I don't put it out right. Well, we are reimagining strength, rewriting narratives, and celebrating the awesomeness of Black women in all of our raw, unfiltered selves. Hey, Natty, how you doing with it?
I am doing all right, thankfully.
Yes, indeed. So today, y'all know how we often talk about strength in, I guess, the context of overcoming challenges. But today we are going to be talking about it from the perspective of acknowledging our vulnerabilities, aka our mistakes, and learning from them, and not just acknowledging and learning from them, but taking accountability for our actions, our reactions, and our responses. And so I want to give another kudos out for my great co-host and friend for coming up with this topic on acknowledgement and accountability, because it's going to be so good. And I'm super excited about it. Y'all know it don't take much to excite me. But seriously, though, this topic is going to be about owning our mistakes, embracing our humanness, a continuation from a previous episode, and creating a culture of trust and growth, not just in our lives, but in the Black female community. Before we dive into all of that, we want to remind you guys or invite you all to join our growing community of Black women, where we are empowering each other. You can check out the link in the show notes for that. You can also connect with us on social media, where we share content that explores the Black female experience. We are Shaped and Strong across all platforms. All right, so let's get into it. What say you, Natty?
What say me?
Yes, what say you? Okay, so you know how we see these trends on social media where it says, where it's like, let's normalize whatever, normalize. And so today I thought we could start by saying like, let's normalize making mistakes. Because before we can acknowledge or take accountability for a thing, we first need to accept the fact that these things do happen. So let's normalize the humanness and make it a mistake.
True.
Like, in all honesty, I think there's like this unspoken misconception that being strong means never make mistakes.
That's right. There is. Yeah.
It's unacknowledged. But in reality, we're all human. That's what we've been talking about. We're all human and humans make mistakes. It's a natural part of life. It's how we respond to those mistakes that define our strength.
Yeah, how we respond. That's really, really important. The response part is extremely important. Part of what's so dehumanizing about all of this is the fact that in the process somewhere of us being almost crystallized into these metaphorical statues of people, we have, I won't say all the time, but many times inadvertently put ourselves on pedestals that we shouldn't have done, that we shouldn't have put ourselves on. No one should be put on a pedestal. That in and of itself is also its own kind of dehumanization because it doesn't allow you to make a mistake. And we have done this a number of times out of a sense of obligation to others, to family members, to friends, to our communities, to whoever. And when we do that, and then we slip up because we will and we do, that puts us in a really, really sticky situation because we don't want to be perceived as making mistakes because we don't want to be judged or disrespected. And that's a very real, I guess, for lack of a better word right now, that's a very real fear, you know, because to very, very loosely paraphrase Malcolm X, he even said, the most disrespected people in America are Black women. And if you're like me, I have a special kind of sensitivity to rejection and criticism. I'm not the only one. And so when you make a mistake and you feel like others are have perceived you making a mistake, you're very afraid of the reaction that you're going to get from other people. And that reaction will be one of very severe criticism or disrespect. And a lot of times it is because, again, people have crystallized us into this air quote strong independent trope that I think I said a couple of years ago in one of our offline kind of, not offline, but off the air, so to speak, group calls, that it's easier to put us in situations where we're like these statues of people instead of actual people. because then people can point at us and pretend to admire how strong we are. And they can also throw things at us when they don't appreciate us anymore. So it feels like that's the reaction that we may get a lot of times when we are just human and we've made mistakes. And so I think part of the humanization, the self-humanization especially, is to gently coax us out of that fear and to get us to a place where we understand that making mistakes is just a regular part of life.
Absolutely.
And when it happens, so be it, so to speak. Not that, oh, we're out here trying to make mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. We're not trying to make mistakes. We're all trying to do truly the best we can. We're trying to put our best foot forward. We're trying to live good and wholesome, generative lives. But we will make mistakes, and we have to get to a place where we can be okay with that. And I do think that when we get to a place where we're okay with that, it can make it easier for us to acknowledge the mistakes we've made. And even more important, it'll make it a little easier for us to take accountability with others who may have been affected by whatever mistakes we've made, or take accountability for whatever harm we've caused ourselves inadvertently. Now, I'm going to say inadvertently all the time, because I truly want to always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not going to assume that people are out here trying to do foul shit to ourselves or to anyone else. But life is what it is. The world is what it is. And sometimes we do make poor choices. We don't make them every day. We don't want to, but we do make them. And we need to be able to not just acknowledge, hey, that was a poor choice, but we need to be able to have the courage to say to someone else or to ourselves, this was a very poor choice. And I see all the ways that it affected you. And I'm truly sorry. And I'm going to make it a goal to not make this kind of choice again, because I don't want to cause you harm ever again.
Absolutely. And what that does is, when you can acknowledge that a mistake did happen and that this mistake inadvertently caused someone else some harm, I think that fosters a sense of self-awareness in us. Mm-hmm. And that self-awareness turns into personal growth. And then that personal growth leads us into making more responsible, it leads us into having more responsible behavior. Mm. And that, because when we are aware that this thing may have caused me some harm or may have caused someone else some harm, and then we can step back and look at ourselves and say, okay, here's how I could have done this different.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging our mistakes, like we've been saying, is actually a sign of strength. It's not a
mistake. Yes,
it
that's
shows
right.
that we are willing to be vulnerable and learn from the human experience. And that helps us to grow and improve as individuals. And then when we're growing and improving as individuals, then that spills over into the Black female community, because everything that I'm doing, the growth that's happening within me, I'm actually spilling that over to my sisters, and then they're spilling it over to their sisters. And now here we are building this community of people who are willing to acknowledge and hold themselves accountable. Mm-hmm. It's not just being accountable for our actions, but also how those actions affect other people.
Yeah, and I think the better, the more adept we get at holding ourselves accountable, we'll also get more adept at just holding ourselves, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Unfortunately, the entire concept of self-care has been grossly co-opted. But I think that's what self-care really was about. It was about being able to hold ourselves. A lot of times, because we may have felt like there was no one around who could help, who could support us.
Right.
But getting to where we can support ourselves, hold ourselves, and I don't just mean materially, I mean emotionally and mentally, that also has a ripple effect in the communities that we're in. Mm-hmm. Because then we get better at holding each other.
Absolutely. We get better at holding each other. And I was actually thinking about this post that I saw a few months ago. I was thinking about it this morning. And this post on Facebook said, and it was a Black lady post. She said, the next time I tell a woman that she's beautiful, And she responds with, no, I'm not, or something to that effect. And you'd be like, no, girl, I look a mess, you know, something like that. And she mm-hmm. was like, the next time I tell her she's beautiful and she responds with, I look a mess, I am going to say, yeah, you do. And so she went on and she wrote this long post about why she was saying that. And I'm saying that because because you said, because it helps us when we can learn how to hold ourselves, we can learn how to hold our sisters. Because a lot of times we think that it's not our responsibility. I'm a firm believer in the whole thing, how they ask the question, am I my sister's keeper? I think I am. Mm. I think it's my, not necessarily my responsibility. That may not be the right word. But I feel like as a Black woman, I almost feel obligated to support and protect other Black women. And so what I'm not going to do is intentionally cause harm. And so I commented on the post and suggested a better way to handle the situation, because for me, that's a mistake in how you handle that situation. You should never, because we don't know what another person's journey is. You saying that to her, her responding the way she responded, like, girl, I look a mess. That could be a trauma response. And so what we don't want to do is unintentionally inflict further harm upon people. And I just went off on a tangent, but I thought about that when you said, well, I think we are accountable for our Black female community. And so if we are accountable for them, I think that we're going to do our best to care for them and hold them, like you just said. That's why that kind of went off on a tangent, but I hope I brought it back home.
Yeah, you saying that makes me think of how I like to think of this in my own life. I've said for a number of years now, probably well over or not quite a full decade, that one of my aims is to be who I always needed.
Yeah.
And so that's how I think of that. I think of, it's kind of, I guess, an offshoot of something that my mom used to always say, like, treat people the way you want to be treated. But the downside to that, I don't want to say a downside, but the other, I guess, piece of that is, just because you're treating someone the way you would want to be treated doesn't mean that their response is necessarily not how they would want to be treated. You don't know, because everyone's different. So I just started saying, okay, I'm going to, in my life, be the person that I always needed. Because there's also no guarantee that I will get that from someone else. I'm not saying that I won't. And I feel like in a lot of ways and many different times I have, and that's great. But if I can give that to myself, I guess it's a type of, you know, it's a form of self-love. If I can give that to myself, I can also give that to others. And for me, that is what that looks like. Like, I know that I have gotten so much better at my own self-talk. I don't talk to myself that way anymore. It's not that I never make a mistake again, you know, to kind of reiterate what we were saying before, but I've gotten a lot better at being gentle with myself. So I'm going to be the person that I have always needed. And I'm going to be that gentle person with someone else, regardless of whether or not they feel they need that. Because gentleness is never going to hurt anybody. Kindness is never going to hurt anybody. Compassion is never going to hurt anybody. And someone may not be able to receive that for whatever reason, but I will also know, you know, when I get home at the end of the day, that I wasn't perpetuating some sort of harm.
So what, just out of curiosity, what is there a mistake that you made in your life and perhaps you weren't happy with the response? And how would you have done things differently? Or is there a mistake in here that you made and you were happy with the response? Because growth.
Well, to answer the first part of the question, yes, there are many mistakes.
I meant one you don't like hearing.
Many mistakes. I can't say that there are mistakes that I've made where I've been happy with the response, because the way my life has played out, I've dealt with consequences, yes, but I haven't had very many situations where I face-to-face had to kind of be accountable for something. Well, now that I've said that, I can think of one, but that is more related to the part that you said about, oh, you were happy with the response. Mm-hmm. So I can think of one instance where, yeah, I made a huge mistake and I was confronted about it. And I took accountability immediately for it. Also, because like I said, I have an extreme sensitivity to rejection and criticism. So sometimes accountability from someone can feel like rejection to me. And so, and this was when I was younger. I think I might have been 19 or 20. So I didn't know what I know now. And I'm almost certain that I reacted in the situation the way that I did because I was very afraid of being rejected by the person. Mm-hmm. So it was a sense of a situation where I did, you know, on paper, the right thing. I did take accountability and I did recognize that, oh no, this XYZ, all of these things were wrong. And these are things that I did and I shouldn't have done them. But I also, I took those actions as a way to hopefully avoid being rejected, as opposed to, I don't know, just in the fullness of my humanity saying, yeah, that I really, truly screwed up, and not letting whether or not someone was going to reject me be a factor in my taking accountability. But despite all of that, I did, you know, the response was the response that I was hoping for, and I was not rejected. I do know now that if a situation recurred like that again, I mean, I certainly hope it doesn't. I hope I'm more open and more proactive now to where I can just try to make repair before it comes to something like that. But I do know now that if it didn't, and I was in a situation like that again, I would, my goal would be to take accountability regardless of whether or not the other person was able to forgive me or wanted to continue to be in relationship with me or whatever. Because I recognize now that people's responses are people's responses, the same way my responses are my responses. People react how they're going to, and that in and of itself isn't wrong. A reaction and response are not the same thing. So your response is what you do with whatever your reaction is. And that can be wrong if it causes someone else harm. But either way, whether it is the reaction or the response, we on the other side can't control someone else's reactions or responses. We can't control our own reactions, especially not gut reactions. What we can control is our own responses, but I can't control someone else's response to me. So I have to be okay with still being the kind of person that I want to be and take accountability regardless of what their response to that is going to be.
I think for me, as I look back over my life, God knows I've made a lot of mistakes.
I mean, and that's just life, right? That's just what happens.
A lot of mistakes. And there have been times where I have hidden behind the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And by hidden, I mean not necessarily taking ownership of it.
Right.
Not admitting that the mistake happened. Mm-hmm. Not taking accountability for how I reacted or responded to the mistake. My reaction was to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think two of the most, I would say one would be staying in relationships that longer than I should have. Mm. And I can like, I will make excuses. So not acknowledging it would be me making excuses as to why I stayed. It was me making excuses as to, or even why it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that was me not acknowledging that perhaps it was an unhealthy relationship. I stayed longer than I should have. And so I would beat myself up about it. This was happening, that was happening, that was happening. So I made a mistake by staying longer than I should have. That's the way, that's my interpretation of making a mistake in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's parenting for me.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I realized that I could have parented my children in a more healthy way. And so I am just, over the last few years, I am just now coming into a space where I can acknowledge that, you know, I could have and should have done some things differently. And so I've done a lot of apologize to my children.
Right.
I've done a lot of apologizing to my children as they have become adults. And so, but the thing about mistakes and taking ownership of mistakes is not to get to this space where you are beating yourself up because you did the things to, I think, to take ownership of it is and acknowledge it is to say, yeah, I did this thing. Was it the best choice? No. And here's what happened as a result of me doing this thing. And then asking yourself, what can I do different moving forward? And I think that's where the acknowledgement and the accountability comes in, which in the context of mistakes is that, yeah, I'm human. I fucked up. Mm-hmm. I did. Even if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to give a few examples. If you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and say something came up and you said this thing to this person and you knew when you said it that it was probably going to cause them some harm, rather than hiding behind that mistake, you know, and making excuses for why you said it, is to acknowledge that, yeah, you know what? I said that. I said it I said it out of anger. I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I'm sorry. A mistake was made. The point I'm trying to make is when we make mistakes, when we do things that are probably not in the best interest of ourselves or someone else, I don't want you to beat yourself up about it. That's ultimately what I'm saying. Like, don't go into this space where I should have known better, or I should have known that wasn't going to work. I knew if I did that, then this was going to happen. Okay, you probably did, but there's no point in beating yourself up about it. Like, give yourself some grace, forgive yourself, you know, whether it's in a friendship, a family relationship, a romantic relationship, whether it's on your job, you know, all the things. Just acknowledge that a mistake was made. Take accountability for it, offer up an apology where necessary, and then grow from it. That's how we grow as humans.
Right. And I, as far as the parenting thing is concerned, yeah, I have done similar as you. Like, you know, like what you asked me was about, I took it to mean like mistakes that I've made in the past where I was confronted and not proactive recognizing or whatever. I've worked diligently to be proactive with my kids because uh-huh. that's extremely important to me. And then I've also had to come to the necessary realization that, yes, you are doing things differently and you are being proactive and you, all of this stuff. And right now, it seems like your relationships with your kids are exactly what you want them to be. They feel really healthy. And I love that. Mm-hmm. The day may come where something may change on their end. And there's really nothing. And I mean, assuming all things being equal still, everything else being, you know, what it is, still being proactive, not actively making choices that affect them adversely, whatever, they could still change their mind. And you're going to have to come to accept that. I'm not saying you got to be okay with it, but there's like, you're going to have to accept it because, again, there's nothing that you can do to control their responses to things. What I'm doing now is I'm doing what I can to control my own actions, which is what we're supposed to do, and being proactive. And also, like you, I had my share of unhealthy relationships that I should not have been in. In my case, the harm that came as a result of that, of those relationships were always, it was always harm to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have kids in any of those situations, or, you know, no one else was affected. It was just me that was affected. And so that's why it's also like really important to be able to get to where, like you said, you're not constantly beating yourself over the head
right.
about those things, because some of us have been in relationships that have been extremely harmful to us. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that needs to happen is us heaping more coals, hot coals over our head because we were in those relationships in the first place. It's just at the time, due to insecurities, due to all kinds of things, we just did what we did. And we gave our time and energy to people who didn't deserve it because they didn't have our best interests at heart. And we suffered harm as a result. And now we can be in a perpetual space of engaging in a lot of self-compassion, not turning a blind eye to anything or not hiding, as you so aptly put, but just really being compassionate with ourselves.
And that goes back to our episode where we had the relationship part that you were talking about. And when I say relationship, I'm talking about relationships in general. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to the episode where we were talking about breaking free from the ride or die mindset or mentality. Mm-hmm. And so in that, we I think kind of talked about how acknowledging, or how we can tie this together, is how acknowledging the mistakes helps us break free from toxic patterns, because we both just said we stay longer than we should have. When we get to this space where we can acknowledge and hold ourselves accountable, I think it also puts us in a space where we are now more aware of the toxic behavior. Because when you can acknowledge, when you're hiding the mistake, then you are not being honest with yourself and saying that I stayed longer than I should have. You're saying, I stay because that's what I wanted to do. I stay, you know, you're making excuses mm-hmm. for staying in the relationship. Again, not just romantic relationships, but just relationships in general. If it's a toxic situation, then a lot of us have been there. We've stayed longer than we should have. We stayed on jobs longer than we should have.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Yeah.
Can we keep it 100? We stayed on jobs longer than we should have. We stayed in relationships longer than we should have. Romantic. We stayed in friendships longer than we should have. Like, we stayed in relationship with family sometimes longer than we should have, you know, because, you know, harm was being caused And for whatever reason, you know, we made the choice to stay. But again, when we can acknowledge the thing, then we become more aware of the toxic behavior. And then we can get out of it. And that's how we hold ourselves accountable when we get out of it. And we tell the truth about the thing. Like, honest about the thing. There is no accountability in being dishonest with yourself. In order hold yourself accountable, you have to be honest about the thing. You can't lie about it. You have to be honest about it. And you have to forgive yourself for staying longer than you should have.
Yeah.
Behavior. I think that's a very important part of acknowledgement and accountability, that self-compassion and forgiveness is necessary in those situations.
Yeah. And I think, and I could be wrong about this. I don't mean to make it sound like you can only have wisdom at certain stages in your life, because I don't believe that at all. But I do think it might be something where it becomes a little bit easier to cut yourself a little bit of slack the older you get. Because
you have lived experience.
You've lived a long time, and you see that you're still alive. You know, the earth did not get swallowed up because of whatever it is you did or didn't do. It's still spinning on its axis. People are still waking up every day and, you know, going to work and all this kind of stuff. So your life has continued. Your life has gone on, you know, like the terrible cliche, and people use it as a cliche, and it's always used at the wrong times, I think. But the cliche that I also don't think people are using it as much anymore, and I think that's really good, but it's the cliche, oh, you know, life goes on. Your life has gone on, and you're like, oh, wow, I survived. I'm still here. So there's a little bit of distance now. So maybe you can look at some of those things, not everything, but some of those things with a little bit more objectivity, and certainly with a lot more honesty. But that certainly doesn't mean that if you're only, you know, like 31, 32, you can't do this. You totally can, because it is, I think it's just a measure of emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. And anyone can be emotionally mature at any age, but that's what a part of this is. We've said growth, but I think it really is just a matter of emotional maturity, and maybe even spiritual maturity, to be able to say, oh no, this was not healthy for me, and it would have been great if I hadn't done this. Unfortunately, I did, but what I'm going to do going forward is not do this again. You know, and if someone else is involved, actually being able to express that to someone else who's involved and saying, yeah, this was not the move. I should not have done this. I sincerely apologize. And if you are willing to remain in relationship with me, I can assure you that I am going to consciously not do, you know, make the effort to not do something like this again.
And that's what everybody in your life, even on our job, if you make a mistake, you don't have to hide, because we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. If you make a mistake in something that needed to be done, a report or something, just acknowledge the mistake. I made a mistake. Will there be consequences for it? Probably. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is to acknowledge the mistake. Admit the mistake. Like, don't try to hide it, because when you hide it, it only piles on a layer of other stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I think the important thing is in acknowledgement and accountability. It's just admitting that a thing was done. And
admitting that you did it, if you're the one that did it.
That you're the one that did it, that I'm the one that caused you harm. And imagine the weight that will be lifted when you are not living with hiding the mistake.
We live in systems right now that do this all day, every day. They mm-hmm. hide everything. Mm-hmm. There is no acknowledgement. There is no accountability. I mean, if there were, we wouldn't still be here calling for reparations all these generations later. So the least we can do is be, you know, the very least, is be better than these systems that we're living in.
Exactly. And you know what? What I have found that helps me as I'm on this journey, I've found that asking people, like if I feel like I should have handled something differently, I've found that asking people, hey, this is like telling them the scenario and say, you think I could have, I should have handled that differently. And I will say the people that I have in my circle, they are honest with me. They'll mm-hmm. say, yeah, you could have said that, you know, in a better way, or yeah, you could have walked away and not said anything. Like, they're honest with me. So I find that asking for feedback from other people, from people that I trust, let me make that plain, mm-hmm. people that I trust, has been very helpful for me in acknowledging mistakes that I've made.
Because you've got people in your corner.
And I also, like for me, I kind of pride myself on always striving to operate from a place of love and resolve. And I'm in a place now where I can, even in the moment, I can silence myself for a few seconds and ask myself, is what I'm about to say going to help or hurt? Is what I'm about to do going to help or hurt? And if I can't honestly say that it's going to help, then I'm probably not going to say or do the thing. Mm-hmm. But it's taken me a while to get.
Well, yeah. And a lot of people don't ever get there.
So like, I like to put myself in the other person's shoes. Like if this thing was being said or done to me, like I try to practice empathy, you know, how mm-hmm. would it make me feel? And if it would make me feel bad, then I'm probably not going to do it. But all that stuff comes with self-awareness. Like if you are not self-aware, then you're probably not going to be able to operate from that space. But again, it's taken me a while to get to this space. And I do a lot of reflection. I used to call it reflection and resolve.
mm-hmm.
I remember years ago at the end of every month, and I don't do this anymore, but at the end of every month, I would just take a day to reflect on all the things that had happened across the month and things that I could have or should have done differently. And then I would resolve to do things different. So I just had a day of to reflect and resolve, and that was very helpful for me. I should probably get back to that, but it's been years since I've done it, and I don't know. I don't have a problem with apologizing. I remember when. Am I rambling, Nettie? Do you have
things? No. Keep going.
Listen, I'm just going from one thing to the next. But I remember when my children were younger, it wasn't normal to apologize to a child, But now, as I'm older and more emotionally mature, as you stated, I can apologize to my children. I can apologize to my grandchildren. You know, if I've said something or done something to make them feel some type of way, I don't have a problem with apologizing. So I think all of this is a part of acknowledging and being accountable for things. Because even a two-year-old deserves for you to acknowledge that you caused the
problem,
even though it may have been unintentional. They deserve an apology for that. And so I've been practicing empathizing. I've been practicing apologizing sincerely. I've been practicing silencing myself even for a few seconds to see if what I'm about to say or do is going to cause harm. And y'all, we say this all the time. Like, it's a practice. It's a practice. Yeah. Like, these things don't just like come naturally for me. Like, I'm intentional in doing these things. I can stop and be like, so if I go silent in the middle of a conversation, I'm thinking about whether or not I should say the thing that I need to say. So again, it's been a practice, but it's been healthy.
Yeah.
It's been good for my relationship. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's something, you know, just to be clear, it's not, we're not saying, hey, you know, you got to get good at censoring yourself.
Right.
That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to take a moment and say, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm going to say here, is this actually helpful? Is this even, you know, the whole thing, little questions, is it helpful? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And if your answer is I don't know, then maybe not, you know, maybe it isn't. Because let's face it, a lot of the times we want to say things and they actually aren't useful. We want to believe that they're useful because we want to hear ourselves say things. But they're actually not, they're not useful. And you got to really be able to hone in on that, because when you don't and you say the thing and it doesn't land, and then you're like, oh, well, you're offended because the other person got offended. It's like, wait, you could have just easily not said that because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't needed. Something I was thinking about yesterday, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be very transparent here and disclose that I think it may be a byproduct of being an only child, but I tend to have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of conversations with no one but me.
Well, I'm
all day, every day.
I'm five and I do the same thing.
It's like, if I'm not listening to music, I'm just talking to myself about things. So I was doing that yesterday, and I was imagining this conversation where I'm having that I'm having with someone. That someone really is just me, though. And I got into the weeds a bit about this whole, you know, and this wasn't even in preparation for our conversation today. I just happened to be thinking about it. I guess it was good that we're having this conversation. But I got into the weeds a little bit about the whole, well, I'm really sorry that I did this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I hurt you. It was never my intention. I said the thing and it wasn't my intention. I didn't mean it this way. I didn't mean to do it. And it wasn't my intention. And I started to think, okay, cool. We all say that a lot. It was not my intention to hurt you. And I'm not saying that we're lying when we say that. That's not where I'm going with this. But
right.
My question then became, okay, cool. So it was not your intention to hurt me. So what exactly was your intention? And if we maybe can get to a place where we're really good at answering that question. Because I can almost assure you that we're not good at answering that question.
I'm thinking about it now. I'm absolutely not. If somebody asked me, well, what was your intention? I will be taken aback.
Yeah, you're gonna the record's gonna scratch again a little bit. Yeah. Like, when you put it that way, I don't know. And so that's where it is. Like,
I love that.
Kind of a similar thing is like I've gotten into maybe disagreements or arguments or whatever in relationships in the past, and something is said to me, and I didn't like it, and you know the person says, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it. And I'm just like, okay, well, if you didn't mean anything by it, then why say it? You did mean something. So yes, we do need to be a lot more intentional and a lot more thoughtful about the words that we say to people and the words that we say to ourselves, because 9 times out of 10, there is an intention behind it. There is some meaning behind it. And we need to be able to be clear with ourselves on what that intention and or meaning is so that if asked, if confronted, we can give a thoughtful answer and we can say, oh, this was my intention, actually, or I thought it was going to be a joke. It turns out it wasn't. And for that, yeah, you know, whatever.
Are you saying if you cannot clearly state, just for clarity for myself, girl, because I'm about to start doing this. Are you saying that if you cannot clearly state what the intent is, then perhaps you shouldn't say or do the thing?
Very, very lightly and tentatively, that is what I'm saying. And I'm saying this for me too, because I do, again, I tend to get into the weeds a lot in my own head. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'm thinking about what I'm saying. It's like, oh, well, I do this a lot. And I think this also might be tied in with my whole super sensitivity to rejection. I think a lot of times about a lot of different ways that I can say something and think about, okay, what's the best way to say this thing so it will land a certain way? And I understand that not everyone operates that way. And I'm not saying that people should operate that way or anything like that. I do think, however, that just being a little bit more thoughtful in our conversation with other people and with ourselves can go a long way. So yeah, I think it could be a useful practice to say, okay, what is my intention in bringing this up? Or what is my intention in addressing it with these words or whatever? What is my intention in stating XYZ? And it's about examining your own motivations, right? And if your own motivation is some sort of self-serving, I don't know, just some kind of weird, you know, I'm wanting to get one over on this person, or I want to make them feel bad or anything like that, then yeah, that's when you know your motivations aren't great and the intention is not good and you might decide not to say the thing. I think that could also lead to, you have very aptly put it many times, growth. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say again, emotional maturity.
Absolutely. And I think if the thing that you're about to say is not responsible and productive. That's what I get from what you were saying. If it's not responsible and productive, then perhaps it doesn't need to be said or done. So, girl, that's good. I'm going to start asking myself the thing. What is the intent behind these words that are about to come out of my mouth? I love that. And to also hold other people accountable.
Exactly.
Like you said, when they say it was not my intent to hurt you, then you can ask them, well, what was your intent? Because that then holds them accountable for the words that are coming out of their mouth. And then we are teaching people how to treat us.
That's right.
I love it. Girl, that was good. I'm about to start asking myself the things.
Ask yourself the hard questions.
Ask yourself the question. That is so good. Because you can do less harm if you know. Do less harm or no harm if you know what the intent is behind the thing. That is so, girl, I just feel like I've been in school today. I learned a thing I never thought. I'm sorry, y'all know it don't take much to excite me, but I've never even thought to stop and ask myself, what is the intent behind? That's good, Natty. I love it. So profound. I love it. Anywho, we're about to wrap it up, y'all, because I'm over here getting excited. I can't wait to use this strategy.
Right. Put it in your toolbox, girl, because there it is.
Toolbox. Can't wait to use this strategy. Yes. What is the intent? Okay. Y'all probably like, this girl, she just so excited. That is not, honey, I'm going to do it. Anyway, we are about to wrap up today's conversation. So I want to, and Natty's already said the things, but I want to encourage our listeners to embrace the tools of acknowledgement and accountability. Like Natty just said, put it in your toolbox, girl. Because seriously, it's okay to make mistakes. Like, we're human.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes. You're not going to get it right every time. You're not. Even with the best intentions, like, I intend to start asking myself that question. Mm-hmm. Even with the best of intentions, there are going to be times when I am in the thick of the thing. I ain't going to stop and say what is my intent behind it, because I know that I'm going to work to do it. But every time, I'm not going to be able to stop. So give yourself some grace.
Right.
We're not out here telling you to be perfect. We're saying be deliberate, be intentional. But even in being deliberate and intentional, there are going to be times where you're not going to get it right.
That's right. That's what being human is.
Because we're human. But, you know, do try to get it. But you're going to fuck up sometimes. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
The important thing is how you respond. That's what matters. That is what truly matters. Like, if you know that, yeah, I could have handled that thing differently, to go back and acknowledge it, hold yourself accountable, and then take the necessary steps to make it right. That's what's important. Any closing words, Natty, before we get on out of here?
No, just that I am really glad that I personally am doing a little bit better of a job with showing compassion to myself. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that all of our listeners this week and going forward continue to get better in that regard as well, because I know you need it. I know I'm talking to you. That's right. Yes, you, listener, you need to show yourself more compassion.
Absolutely. And forgiveness. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forgive. Just like you forgive other people, forgive yourself, you know, for not always getting it. Hey, we just don't. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us today as we discuss finding strength and acknowledgement and accountability. If you've enjoyed this episode, and if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to the Shade Your Strong podcast for more powerful conversations, and also join our community on social media and our email list for content that supports your journey of growth, self-compassion, and self-acceptance. Yeah, the links will be in the show notes of this episode. Join us next time for another soul-stirring conversation where Natty gives us all the good nuggets. Until then.
Natty will try.
Until then, take care of you.